my mission in my company is to create a barbecue experience that make you feel like you're in my backyard.
I love it.
Like, I always make them feel like they're in my backyard, wherever I'm at.
And 3, 2, 1.
You're listening to The Real Social Proof Podcast with Mr. Sleepers for Suckers himself, David Shands. Let's get it.
All right, welcome to another edition of the Social Proof Podcast, man. We find dope people that did really, really dope stuff. Today's no different. We find documented successful people, man.
Yeah.
You got some, you've had some success, right?
Just a little bit, Dave. And listen, we appreciate what you're doing on this platform, man.
I appreciate it.
Really just putting out dope people every week. So I'm excited. Thanks for the invite.
No doubt. I'm really just getting a free coaching session from you.
Yeah. I noticed that. Let me tell you, my wife be in the house. She be like, yo, I like what he say. Why are we doing that? Write that down.
But sure, I am here. I'm trying to learn. I want to learn every industry. I want to learn every business. Mm. And this is something that I'm super interested in because, like, you got two products, right? You have products that you use and you have products that you use up.
Yeah.
So if I sell somebody a car, that's something that you use. Eventually, you'll need another car, but that's something that you use. I can sell somebody a T-shirt. You'll just rock that joint forever. Or, you know, I'm a jeweler. Like, you use this, right? The jewelry. But you have a consumable product where if they like it, they have to come back.
Absolutely.
Get it. So that's something that you use up. And that's how you can really grow your income on a whole nother level. So what's going on, my brother? Mr. Derek? How do you introduce yourself?
Listen, most of the time I tell them, I say, look, I'm the man that went from barbecuing in the parking lot to parking in the mayor's spot.
Come on, talk that talk.
Yeah, listen, I went from getting kicked off the side of the road to writing the policies that allow me to be on the side of the road.
Talk to him. Yeah,
so look, I ain't new to it, I'm true to it. A lot of people see the shine, D, but they don't know my grind.
Oh, we about to get into that.
Yeah.
So what do you offer right now? Introduce yourself to the people that don't know.
So I've been barbecuing for the last 10 years, Divine Barbecue in Motion. Now I'm in the stage of my life.
How many years?
Over 10 years, I've been barbecuing. I actually started in, believe it or not, 94, I worked in my first barbecue restaurant.
Mm.
And I really, that's when I fell in love with barbecue. And you know, we'll get into that story a little bit. But now I'm at the stage where with so many people who have watched me go from actually barbecuing in my backyard, like literally on a little Weber grill, and to now I got about 15, 20 grills that I own, and they see these massive grills and these trailers. And most people, they ask the wrong questions. They be like, how much does that cost? But they don't never ask me about the process, right? And so it's like you get what you ask, and you asking the wrong questions.
Yeah.
I can tell you how much this costs, but you ain't got the money to know how to get it. And so what I had to do is I had to put as Biggie say, a step-by-step booklet for them to get, right?
Yeah,
so I had to create I actually created a course to teach them the business side. Not really how to barbecue, but to teach people how to go from their backyard barbecue, just like I did, step by step, and how to build a six-figure or seven-figure business if they want to out their backyard.
I love it. All right. So you said something about like 15 grills. Walk me through that business model.
So I'm not telling nobody to buy 15 grills.
No,
I started.
No.
Yeah,
right,
but
for sure.
But I started. So let me tell you how I started. I'm gonna take you back. Because I barbecued. I wanted to open a restaurant. I knew I wanted to do this. I'm unusual. I knew since young that I was going to open up a restaurant, be an entrepreneur. Mm-hmm. Started my first business in fifth grade. It was a little candy store. Mm-hmm. Grew up in Silver Spring, Maryland. There was a 16-story high-rise building. We had a soda machine next to the laundromat. I ain't suggesting no kids do this, but it was broken.
Okay.
So the sodas was just there. And I lived in the apartment right across from the trash room and the laundry room. So I took the sodas. And I put it in my Rambo book bag and I took it to school and that's how I started my first business.
Oh. So,
no, I mean, it was an opportunity. So that's how I started my first. So I delivered newspapers, right? I used to cook for everybody in the neighborhood. I used to go to everybody's house if they had potatoes, oodles,
and
noodles.
As a kid,
I was a latchkey kid. I don't know if you know what that is. The person who had the key tied around their neck, let themselves back in. Mm-hmm. You know, that Reaganomics type of thing. And so I used to let myself back in. I got tired of grilled cheese sandwiches. I got tired of pork and beans. I got tired of the fried bologna with the little red string around that we used to fry it and flip that joke over and eat real good. And then even the toast that I used to put on and light the little burn up and put the little sugar and butter. And if I had some cinnamon, I would throw that on.
Talk about it.
Yeah. So one day I came home. I was about 9 years years old that mom's had a pack of chicken in the fridge and some of that block cheese. That was real good. It was some elbow noodles, some carnations milk. And I remember I had to go pick my little sister up from the babysitter. The babysitter was on the 16th floor. And so I said, man, I'm cooking some food for real. So I saw Big Mom and them do this. They took the brown paper bag, sugared up with the flour. I threw the fried chicken in the cast iron frying pan, boiled my noodles, made my mac and cheese, threw the butter in. I thought I was doing
something. How old were you?
I was like, I had to be in the like the third or fourth grade when I did
what?
This. Yeah. Just came in and just tried. This is what I, you know, I started playing around with it. And my chicken, it looked real pretty. I can't promise you. I put my little sister up in her little high chair at the time.
So you like eight at this point.
Eight or nine, I started cooking, right? So it was just that thing I had to pass. So when all my cousins used to come to town, when everybody in the neighborhood, they would look to me whenever we did nothing to be the guy that was doing all the cooking, right? Mm. So that was my gift always to kind of like bring people together. It was like to keep giving. Mm. So I worked into my first, I got in my first gig at a restaurant. Well, actually, I started.
You fried chicken at 9 years old.
But it wasn't done, Dave. It looked pretty. Yeah. I gotta keep it funky. It wasn't done. It looked pretty. I had to put it back in the pot and burn it up a little bit. So just because it looked good don't mean sometimes you win and sometimes you learn.
That's
right?
So
people, it's not wins and losses. I learned that just because it looked good, it ain't always done.
Yes, sir. Yes,
right.
Sir.
And so this was lessons that I would take later on that would help me out.
For sure.
Right. Overcoming obstacles and all that. Like I used to watch American Gladiators, all that. And they never focused on the obstacles of the gladiators, but they always focused on the finish line.
Yeah.
So I developed early a sense of I'm always going to focus on the end result and the destination. I ain't focused on what I'm going through. I'm focusing on what I'm going to.
I like that. I like that. So, yeah, that's so far. She's 11 now, but at 10 years old, she was making, like, and I'm feeling what you're saying, too, because I'm just realizing she made French toast at 10.
Yeah.
And I'm like, how you learn that? Because I don't know how to make, I know how to do it, but I never, you know what I mean? Like, so some kids just pick it up and they're like, yo, I see mommy do it.
Yeah.
I can do that now.
Yeah, just watching. Like, we watch, and we don't even, like, even some of the style and the way I cook things is something I remember being on a little big stool watching my great grandmother in the kitchen just cooking. And I picked up on some of them techniques and do it. Later on, I did go to culinary school, but that teach French techniques, French style. That don't teach the type of food that we like eating all the time, right? And so that was good, but it's not what I like, and it wasn't my niche market. Gotcha. So I worked as a high school. I delivered newspapers in the morning. At night, I started off as a dishwasher at a nursing home, right? But I ain't stay a dishwasher because that ain't what I went took the job for. I just took the job just to get in.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny. Most kids, they limit themselves to what they hired to do. Mm-hmm. I was always that kid that, and I didn't even know it was a success principle, Jack Canfield, how you do anything is how you do everything.
For sure.
Right? That I got in there as a dishwasher, but that wasn't my mindset. I wanted to be over cooking. So when I finished washing dishes, I was the best dishwasher.
Yeah.
I go over and I see what the cooks was doing and help them do what they was doing. And so eventually I became a dietary aide. And then I prided myself. I had to catch that last bus to get home
by
7
o'clock. What's a dietary aide?
Dietary aide is just somebody who just aids the cook and puts the right type of food on the plate. Like if somebody didn't have no teeth, you had to give them pureed food. Mm. Like if they couldn't have stuff, you had to chop their food up.
Gotcha.
So you had to read the cards and figure out what type of food you had to put on the plate and make sure it got delivered to the right person in the nursing home.
Gotcha.
Carriage Hill Nurse Home. Then I worked at a barbecue spot. Right?
Is that where you fall in love with barbecue?
That's when I knew barbecue was going to be my niche. I didn't know my niche. And I didn't realize later on that riches was in the niches. But barbecue 100%. Became that niche.
How old were you?
I was 16, 17 when I worked in my first barbecue.
Okay,
yeah, it was called Lil Bud's Gourmet Barbecue and Southern Cuisine.
Did you fall in love with barbecue itself? Like, was it the taste, the texture, or like you just saw this stuff as like gold? Or like, what was it about barbecue that attracted you and said, yo, This is going to be where I live right here.
Yo, so it was just like man food fire type of thing. Mm. Like, and it was an indoor spot. So I'm learning how to work with chimneys at the time. It's still, people don't even know how to light a fire with a chimney.
I feel attacked.
Yeah. No, I'm not attacking you though. But there's a way. It's in my course.
Okay.
It's in the course.
Nah, because some of them I know how to do. You know what I mean? But you ever go to a tricky one, like when you first move into a house, it's like, you got to figure out this chimney.
Yeah.
And I don't know if I figured out my chimney.
Yeah.
The one I got.
A little newspaper, dude. Just like.
I'm sorry, this ain't about me.
Right.
Yeah, so, I'm about to get a course.
So when I was in there, like I was learning the technique. And the guys, he's from Chattanooga, Tennessee. So I was learning Tennessee style. Not realizing every year my family went back to Greenville, North Carolina. We had these family reunions around the 4th of July. I was a part of these pig pickings or these old-fashioned Carolina-style barbecues that I had been exposed to all this time. So I get in barbecue, and it's like, yo, of course, they hire me as a dishwasher. That's my way into all these jobs, a dishwasher. So I get as a dishwasher. He said, okay, you did pretty good. Come chop these greens up. Come work these yams. And then he started teaching me the art of the grill. Yeah. And I started learning that, and it was like, boom. Next thing you know, I'm almost running the place. He leaving me to do it. And then we had like a big recession that hit. It was 96, 97. Clinton was the president. The budget didn't get signed. And so now we're in the big government area. There's no budget. There's Christmas. Then we got a big snowstorm in 97. So we went 5-6 months where it was like no business. He had to shut down.
Mm.
So now I'm left out trying to figure out what I do because college just didn't work with me. I think I tried one semester of community college at that time and paid out of my pocket, right? And I didn't know nobody in my environment that pushed college. Like, I wasn't that kid that really was into school, right? So me going to see a counselor or talking to recruiters and all that stuff, I didn't know. One of my boys ended up going into the military, Marine Corps. He came back. He said, hey, why don't you go down here with the recruiter? And I was like, what is the military? All I knew was boys in the hood.
He said, what is the military?
Yeah, it's no place for a black man. That was my mentality. Mm. And so he said, just go down there and talk to him. And dude was like, what you want to do? I said, oh, yeah, I'm going to open a restaurant. I'm going to do this and that. He said, hey, what if we send you to school and train you for it? I was like, black. He said, y'all do that? He said, hey, yeah, you want to get a house and two? He said, we'll get you housing, all that. He sold me on the dream. He didn't tell me about the military.
Right.
He started asking me what I wanted and kind of was like, here's how you get there.
Mm.
And I was like, boom. So I ended up signing. He was like, let me see how you're doing the test. I think I scored pretty high because when I get down to the enlistment place, they say, you don't want to be a cook because you're going to have to work long hours. Now, I had been working in the restaurant industry at this time 4 or 5 years. I know the hours and the time. I'm not afraid of work. But then she says, why don't you go as an accountant and we'll give you a $2,000 bonus? I said, oh, where do I sign?
The $2,000 made you change your whole...
$2,000 made me change.
Golly.
So I ended up in the military for 8 years as an accountant. And then when I realized I was bamboozled, but during the time I had fun, I got to do a lot of big barbecue
parties. Yo, hold on, man, because
we got to slow that down.
Because this is crazy, bro. And this just happened. And I don't know if I can talk about it. So my wife still works at, I think, Kaiser. And she's an account manager, right, Joe? What's up, man? Cool, I'm looking for a signal or something, bro. Yeah. Like, she's an account manager. That means something.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, you manage
accounts.
So look, so she got like the little Tumblr joint, right? And she's like, yo, I want to do tumblers. You feel me? Like, makes tumblers. And she's like getting really good at the tumblers. And she's like, yo, man, I'm going to leave this job. Because I really just want to do tumblers and I'm going to be a momager where she's getting our daughter in like these movies and stuff, right? Really dope. She's like, yeah, I'm going to quit this job. So she tells Kaiser that she's going to quit. And they tell her something like, no, you could do this. We give you more days off and all that kind of stuff. And guess what she does?
Keeps the job.
She keeps the job,
bro.
Oh,
yeah.
That's how they do it.
That's it.
She keeps the job because of whatever incentive they told her.
Yeah.
So I think that happens often, that right? Happens. You're like, yo, I want to open a restaurant. Da, 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 da. And they're like, yo, we'll give you $2,000. And you, like, in the grand scheme of things.
I was 19, man. 19. I ain't have a job at the time.
Yo,
I had a dream.
Imagine
if
you, like, started moving on that path for those 8 years. The worst thing that happened to you was being offered $2,000, bro.
Yeah. That was it.
That's crazy.
That was the carrot to get me to get away. And then when I finally asked for them to move me into that field, they said, oh, no, you're more valuable. And then they offered me. They said, hey, won't you re-enlist again, sign another contract? Hey, and we'll send you and your family to Hawaii. I was like, nah, at this point, right, I was too much into self-development to know that, you know, the military was good, right? I ain't taking nothing from it. Everything I wanted, the VA loan, the house, the education. I even got a 2-year degree and played football and everything. So I almost got to live out a little college life while I was in because I had a cakewalk job. I was an accountant. I ain't really wanted the military. I sat behind a desk and I did that all that stuff.
You got an opportunity to do everything except for what you really
except
want
for what
do.
I really want. But I threw a bunch of parties, right? So I continue to develop my gift in barbecue.
Business is tough, all right? And you have to keep your brain focused on the main thing by limiting distractions. But let me show you how business works. I'll give you some quick math. The less your business spends on operations, on multiple systems, and delivering products or services, the more margins you have and the more money you get to keep. But with higher expenses on materials and employees and distribution and borrowing money, of course, everything costs more. So to reduce costs and headaches, smart businesses are graduating to NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, HR, into one platform and one source of truth. With NetSuite, you reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud with no hardware required, so you can access it from anywhere. You cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified business management suite. You improve efficiency by bringing all your major business processes into one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move. So do the math. See how you'll profit with NetSuite. Everything is more expensive these days, y'all. From food to employees to systems, inflation is going crazy. So it behooves you. It'd be wise to find proven ways to cut costs and boost performance all at the same time. Now through April 15th, NetSuite is offering a one-of-a-kind flexible financing program. Head to netsuite.com/socialproof. netsuite.com/socialproof. netsuite.com/socialproof.
Thank you. Right? So I knew at this point when I got to year eight, all right, I wrote a big business plan for a barbecue. I found some quickplan.com or something like that. They probably get promo. And they sent me this big book and these, back when you had CD-ROMs that I put in, and I set up nights preparing to get out the military, writing this. I had 5-year financial synopsis, best case scenario, worst case scenarios, break even scenarios. I was preparing, D. I walked to the bank with this business plan for a barbecue restaurant, identified a location, walked in. This is 2005. Walked in that joint. They looked at me. They was like, wow, we've never seen nothing like this. Nobody came with this level of detail. They said, let us call you tomorrow, because the manager had to call somebody in the regional office. They called me the next day. They say, sorry, we're not financing any restaurants, but hey, this was great. Never seen nothing like this. Good. Right? So no, I did all of that work, right? Look at all this, these trial and errors. But what was still inside of me, I believe in life, and we was talking about gifts earlier, like your destiny is not ahead of you. It's trapped on the inside of you. It's just like a seed. Like everything you're supposed to become is on the inside of you. You just got to get in the right environment. Just because you throw a seed in the trash don't cancel the seed's purpose.
It just means it's in the wrong environment.
Yeah. And where purpose isn't known, abuse is inevitable. Right? And so as
Say that one more time.
Where purpose isn't known, abuse is inevitable. Like there's a normal use for your life and then there's an abnormal use. You know, abuse is a shortened word. It's a compound word. But in our English language, we lazy. So abuse, abnormal use.
Abuse is abnormal use.
Yeah, come on. I'm Joe just didn't know that.
Yeah, so, I was actually
so like, to... so like there's a normal, there's a purpose for the chair to sit in it. Right? But if you stand in the chair, you're abusing the chair.
Because that's abnormal use.
Yeah, that's not the purpose. Purpose is always in the mind of the creator. Anyway, so back to the seed.
You educating Joe right now. He needs to
back
notice.
To the seed. I get a little deep sometimes.
That was good. That was good. Yeah. That was good. That was
excuse
good.
Me. I love teaching too. That's why I got a course.
Absolutely. You're here.
Because that's one of my gifts, teaching.
Absolutely. Let's get my man some water real quick.
Yeah. Joe. Please. Thank you. So the seed. So I knew that barbecue was like my gift and passion. Mm-hmm. Right? So now, watch this. I get way off path again. So now I got to figure out how to get money for it. So this time, somebody say, hey.
So at this point, you're out of the military.
I'm out of the military.
They say, no,
people talk. People's like, yo, you got a family. You got 3 kids, 5. You need to stay in the military. People selling me on their fears. But I'm like, I'm not afraid of dying. I'm afraid of not trying. Right? Like, I can't live life without regrets.
Appreciate you.
So it's at this point, it's like I'm getting out. Like, I'm jumping.
Yeah.
Like, I got everything to gain and nothing to lose. And if I lose everything, I've already been without nothing anyway. Remember, I lived in a basement apartment where we was across from the trash room where the soda machine broke.
100%.
So when the lights go out, I already know how to function. I know how to go to get a candle. Right? So I'm not afraid to be in the dark without nothing again.
Yeah.
Right? So now I jump in the mortgage industry because somebody say, hey, let me show you how to get the money. I'm thinking mortgages, what? So I'm getting in there for the purpose to learn about money, and I get sucked doing the whole mortgage implosion boom. It's crazy. Mm. This tell you how 2009? Off path. This is 2009. So 6, 7, 8, 9. Mm-hmm. It starts to implode. I get in the first couple of years, I'm making money. I try to buy some properties. I'm thinking I'm a real estate mogul. Mm. Lose everything, all the houses, gone. Because it was exotic loans. I didn't know. I was on the subprime side and didn't even know because I didn't know what it was. Mm-hmm. I just jumped in sudden because somebody was like, let me show you how to make some money. So at this point now, my destiny is still not ahead of me. It's trapped on the inside of me. But now it's bubbling because it's got to come out.
Yeah.
Right? So now I get to the point where, all right, the military, Obama is president, Bush 9/11. So they come out with what's called the post 9/11 GI Bill that says, hey, convert your Montgomery GI Bill, which is the money that the recruiter told me to go to school for. And he says, and we'll pay you to go to school, right? I'm out the military. So now I got to transition because this whole mortgage industry, I'm losing houses. Wife looking at me like I'm crazy. Yeah. I'm just a risk taker, but she's supporting me. That's the good thing too. She relating. So anyway, so I jump. I get to the point where I go back to school. They pay my thing while I go back through culinary schools. At this time, 2009, I think I jump on Facebook because now Facebook is no longer for the college people, but it's for everybody.
Right. Remember that.
I jumped on. I was an early adapter to YouTube and all that. I was because we jumped off of MySpace, right? And so now I'm in culinary school. At the same time, I'm taking pictures of my food. I'm posting it, right? Didn't even know what I was doing, but strangers started calling me, say, hey, are you a personal chef? I'm saying, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely, sure. No questions asked. What you need? Didn't know how to charge. Didn't know how to do none of that. I'm just going to people's house. I'm cooking. Right. I'm doing all of that stuff. And it's from then I just start, just now, 2010, I really start barbecuing out my backyard on a Weber grill. So this is the formation of Divine Barbecue in Motion, 2010 timeframe, because now I'm jumping. And it started with people coming, because I used to still host all the parties. Like, I would buy cases of meat, tell people bring sides. If I go to church, I'd be like, hey, what y'all doing out the church? What you doing? Hey, come on over to my house and cook. I'm just a social butterfly. Come on. We're going to eat. I'm going to feed you. I don't care. Right? So I was doing it for free anyway. Now people was coming. They say, yo, that barbecue rub. Let me get what you put on that meat. So I started putting in Ziploc bags.
So it wasn't like a specific rub. It was like you putting together different...
It was my own blend, but I had my own barbecue blend that I would did. Like, I had developed my own signature rub and my own signature sauce. Using some of the stuff at the crib. But it would be the same. It would be consistent. So I was already mixing it up. So I started going to food trade shows, talking to co-packers and stuff, and I ended up white labeling my own barbecue rub. Right? And so I got my own rub, white labeled and everything, and started making. But then I created my logo, my whole business. I started running to the barbershops, beauty salons, right? Because at this point, now, you got to remember, I'm doing this for bread and meat. Because if I don't do it, I don't eat.
Yeah.
Right? Something my daddy told me. He said, son, I do it for bread and meat. If I don't do it, I don't eat. So I would go out there and I would take my cards and all that stuff to all the barbershops and the beauty salons. Mm-hmm. And at this point, I'm just looking for anybody to bite to tell me what that... And I would drop off samples. Now, I ain't have no money anyway, so I'm just giving them.
Yeah.
And then I'm walking back and then I'll be home sitting down. They call me, be like, yeah, let me get one of them barbecue chicken sandwiches, some collard greens and yams. I'll be like, all right, I'll be there in 30 minutes. I got to go light the grill up.
And make a sandwich.
I got to make a sandwich right now. But I built this up over time and I even found out and developed who my niche market was because I would go to the barbershops and I would go to the beauty salon. With the barbershop, he would try to nickel and dime me in the barbershop, eat the sandwich for itself, throw it away. Well, I go in the salon, my white Chef Jagger smelling like barbecue with the samples and go in there and take it to all the ladies in there. And they'd be like, oh my gosh, they've been in here all day. They was like, do you got more? I need to take some to my husband and my kids in there and I need 4 or 5 plates. And
then they would give you
through activity.
You can find your market through activity.
Activity breeds results.
Sexuals.
Yeah, and then focus activities begin to make you wealthy. From there, they start hiring me for personal gigs. Then I discovered the festivals and fairs game, right? And so I started off with the little mom and pop festivals. They cost like $200, $300 to get in. Then later on, I discovered these major county fairs cost you a couple thousand dollars to get in. But then you start running a bag. And all along,
I'm learning. What's the most you've made from an event?
Like from a, from an event, is that how it's watching?
No. Right. So from like a county fair or something like that.
Yeah, so a county fair, a couple days type of thing, 20,000. You know, just sitting out there on the fair. Maybe a one-day event. I think the most I might have pulled in was maybe like 12, 13 on a one-day event.
On a one-day joint.
Yeah, on a one-day.
Very lit.
Yeah. But you got to be real organized. And I got the potential to make more. I just don't run mine big. Like, you notice the big lines got the big signs.
Yeah.
Right? The bigger the signs, the bigger the lines. And it's a whole science to it. Yeah. So
Is that right?
Yeah, the bigger the signs, the bigger the lines. Like, it's a whole science to getting into festivals and fairs and getting into that. Like, and actually running that bag up. So now, remember, I only wanted a restaurant, and I ended up learning a whole game that I would have never learned had I got that restaurant in 2005.
So, yo, life is just funny that way. Yeah. So you take the $2,000 from the front. He's like, dang, he just sold his dream for $2,000. But if you never did that, you wouldn't have been an accountant. You wouldn't have went all the way around. You wouldn't have gotten a business plan and all that kind of stuff. And now... you're just forced to. And sometimes I believe the longer you sit on something, the more frustrating it becomes.
Yeah.
Like you're like, okay, now is the time. I need to push that thing out.
It's time. I mean, I kept grinding and grinding at it. Like even when I got in that first major fair, like I put that bag down. I ain't had the money. Like they was like, yeah, it's $3,100 and we need the money up front. Right? Just to get into the joint. Mm. Right? I was like, you got to invest. Right. A lot of people would have held on to it. But, you know, you got to pay to get, you got to pay to play.
Yeah, for sure.
Right. And so when I got in, now for me, it's a gamble. You're going to learn that the weather, they don't care about the weather. Event is rain or shine. Yeah. Right. Whether people come in and out. Also, you got to be able to know how to store, bring food out there, how to get through the health inspector, how to have a kitchen, like how much food. And then my problem early on that I had to learn was pricing. Mm. I was out there paying $3,000 to get in the festival, bringing a little bit of food, and my prices was way off.
Too high or too low?
They were too low. Right? So I'm struggling. I'm out there, and mind
you. So you're like, you selling out, and you're like, oh, this is good.
I'm selling out in the middle of the fair, taking the bread out the register, running to Sam's Club, running to BJ's to try to buy some more meat, throwing it on, and I'm blasting my speakers, playing, I don't know, Taylor Swift's Ribs Are Ready, come and get it. Hey, right? Right? Because people literally got to wait like an hour, 2 hours for me to come back, soak the fire real high and get it together. Right? But it was those lessons that I learned now that makes me who I am. And the guys told me at the end of the festival that first year, I remember, they were eating my sandwiches. And these guys, they were selling fried food. They come in 3 hours after I've been there and they would leave like 10 minutes after the fair would close. And I'm out there stoking the fire. I'm rearranging. I'm making the adjustments. They say, yo, you be putting some hours. You be out here, what, 5 o'clock in the morning lighting this grill and you don't leave at 1, 2 o'clock in the morning? They was like, yo, you got a $10 sandwich. At that time, I was selling a sandwich like $6. I was like $10 in my mind. I was limited to only what I thought that people would pay for a sandwich. Mm-hmm.
Probably limited to what you would pay for a sandwich.
Yeah, that's exactly what happened. They said...
Let me just pause.
Yeah, you gotta pause right
I gotta pause. I gotta let that breathe for a second. And I truly believe that most people's pricing is based on... Thirsty, wasn't it? Golly. Look, I was about to be my point, but I heard. Golly. Anyway, I believe one of the major keys to success is investing.
Yeah.
Because the more you put out, the more you can charge.
Yeah.
The more you put out, the more you feel comfortable charging. Right. Yeah. So we can tell people who have not invested more than $1,000 because all their products will bump 1,000.
Yeah.
Or all my drinks could be 500.
Yeah.
So I'm super interested in investing more and more so that I feel comfortable charging more and more. Because I know if I spend a lot or invest a lot and it comes back, I'm like, oh, I need to do that again. And then I could go back to my audience and say, listen, this is what happened when I invested this. So now I'm asking you to invest this because... this is what worked for me.
Yeah.
So that's crazy that your pricing was based on, I ain't paying $10 for no sandwich.
Yeah.
That's the problem.
And I had to get by. And the guy told me, he pulled me to the side. He said, yo, D, it's a brother that was working for this other company. He said, Mr. Charlie, he's selling frozen sausages out the box, throwing it on the little flat grill, and we sell it for $8. you out here, you and your wife, your kids.
So I love it to your joints.
He was like, yo, we ain't never seen a barbecue guy come to the festival with real wood, stoking the fire, smoke up there. I mean, I was putting on a show, bringing cowbells out, had my speakers. We was line dancing every night. They go look at some YouTube videos from 2012, 13. We line dancing, doing the cha-cha, the electric slide. Like we was the sounds of the fair, right? He was like, yo, your issue is you got a conscience about your price.
Mm-hmm.
He was like, who out here when you setting this up? Who out here when you doing your shopping? Who out here seeing you build this whole setup and bring your whole operation out here? He said, you way underpricing yourself. And that was like almost an offset mentor, but it cost me a lot of lesson. And the lesson was how much money I lost as a result.
Yeah.
That first year, I probably only made $6,000 when I probably could have made $15,000. Mm-hmm. So I left, that lesson cost me $7,000, mm-hmm. right? From not having, and then I didn't see many people like me that was in this industry doing roadside building it the way I was building it. From there, I was set up on the side of roads. I was set up at gas stations, wherever I could. Because at this point now, this is the only thing I got that's going to feed my family.
Yo, that's so ill, bro. There's so many lessons that I just hope people are catching that is not necessarily about your talent or your willingness to work. Because you could be really talented and grind, and your belief system is off. But you're just going to run yourself ragged. That's why my man was... He probably had the talent or the work ethic, but he understood business. Yo, let's get the sausage out the box, cook that joint, put it in a nice little package. Give me $8 for this joint. Listen, family, Black representation in media is vital, okay? If we don't use our voice, we lose our voice in radio, television, print, etc. I remember listening to Arsenio Hall back in the day. I remember watching Oprah. I remember hearing these Black voices in media, and it made me always want to be a part of it. The next generation, however, of influential Black voices can be found on NPR's new collection, Black Stories, Black Truths. Black Stories, Black Truths is a celebration of Blackness from NPR. Each of NPR's Black voices are distinct, varied, and nuanced as the Black experience itself. And in the Black Stories, Black Truths collection, you'll hear stories of joy, resilience, empowerment, and creating world-shifting things out of struggle. Every episode is a living account about what it means to be Black today, told from a unique Black perspective. From Bobby Shmurda to The Wire, Michelle Obama to reparations, there's no limit to the range of Black stories and Black truths, okay? I'm checking out NPR, and I believe they have the real. The hosts understand the assignment and are telling the real stories of the Black experience. Black perspectives haven't always been centered in the telling of America's story, obviously, but now they are the story. In NPR's Black Stories, Black Truths, you'll find a collection of some of NPR's best podcast episodes celebrating the Black experience. Hear a feed of episodes from across NPR's podcasts that center Black voices. It's NPR Noir. Turn on NPR today and hear a range of voices as varied, nuanced, and as Black as the country we reflect. Stories should never be about us without us. Listen now to Black Stories, Black Truths from NPR wherever you get podcasts.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, and I think that's why I start my course off talking about mindset.
Mm. It's what you need right now.
The whole first module, we just deal with mindset. Because you got to get in the mindset that, like, first of all, you're going to begin with the end in mind. Mm. Like, I still knew that I was going to have a successful barbecue restaurant. Mm. Like, no matter what, that was always the end goal. So I didn't, like, I can look back now and laugh and joke and just reminisce about the process. But the destination I realized now wasn't as important as who I become in the process.
100%.
You know, and 100%. It's almost like that metamorphosis. Like, you don't even recognize the caterpillar once it becomes a butterfly.
That's a fact.
Because it's not the same person. Like, who I was 10 years ago in this game ain't the person I am today because I got so much wisdom, so much, like, knowledge and insight that I developed just over just the simple pricing lessons. The simple, like, I've lost money by listening to event planners who lied to me and said, we're going to have 20,000 people at this festival.
Oh, of course.
So I invested money, time, and traveled to these things with all of this. For me, my business is a gamble because I'm not guaranteed to get nothing back. So if I come down there with $1,500 worth of food, I just paid you another $1,500. Now I'm out $3,000. Not counting my hotel, my travel, or wherever, wherever you brought me to. And so I had to learn those lessons, how to identify what was a great event to go to, right? Because you can't take every event.
Right, right.
Hoes say men lie, women lie, but the numbers don't lie. That's fact. You know, so I learned how to even look at social and go back and research some of those events and some of those plays.
Gotcha. So as you create, so what happened with this rub? You still got the rub?
Still got the rub. Big D's barbecue rub.
Big D's barbecue rub.
Rosina is trademarking it now.
Oh, as you should.
Yeah.
How are you selling that now?
So I'm selling that in little 8-ounce packages, right? Mm-hmm. And so I'm still trying to learn the Shopify and how to ship all that. I'm still working on that. But I'm gotcha. Still, the people come into, I got a roadside store brick and front that I had to pivot to last year during COVID when they shut everything down. I ran a bag during COVID, just Facebook ads, all of that. Set up on the side of the road. I ended up renting a building and still put all my trailers and all my grill. Saved me actually on storage because I got to shut down some of them storage units.
Wow. So what is your business model? You have a restaurant, a trailer? What's your business model now?
So it's roadside barbecue restaurant. I call it an outdoor barbecue restaurant because I put up a tent. I bought a big 30 by 30 tent, like one of them carnival tents, put it out there, put the poles, put the heat lamps out there. I got the big trailer with the full kitchen in it.
Same location or you move around?
I'm in a, so that's a permanent location.
Yep.
But I still move around. Like I did an event last week. Like I was supposed to go to Miami, but I was in Baltimore, Aberdeen, did a huge barbecue bash. I'm like the face. Like you look at the Baltimore Sun, you see my face. They had me on the Hartford County site. They were like, we had to have you come.
Gotcha. So,
you know, now they look for me because I'm the, like I created, like my mission in my company is to create a barbecue experience that make you feel like you're in my backyard.
I love it.
Like, I always make them feel like they're in my backyard, no wherever I'm at. It's a party.
You got sauce. So, you have a sauce?
Big D's barbecue sauce.
So, you have a rub and a sauce.
Yes, sir.
Right? Do you make more from the rub and the sauce or from, like, the events and your restaurant?
So, right now, the events and the restaurant. Mm. So, I'm transitioning now to push more of the rub and the sauce.
Gotcha.
But people come back for the food because my ribs are handcrafted. Like, it's what I give them.
Yeah.
Right, in the business aspect. What was happening over the last couple of months, like the last couple of years, is people keep asking me how to do it. Right, so I keep getting that question. How do you do this, D? How do I do that? And so, like, I got a call on Monday. Lady say, oh, such and such gave me a number. I just bought a food truck and I was just wondering if I can come and serve you and this and that. I was like, yeah, I got a course if you want to go and learn. And then if you got some questions, maybe I can mentor you. We can talk about a mentorship. But I don't have time. Like when I told you I went from barbecuing in the parking lot to parking in the mayor's spot, I literally, in some of them early days, I got a cease and desist notice. I didn't know about land use and zoning and all of that. Mm-hmm. I went to my first council meeting, right? Got up and spoke, realized I had to become the solution to my own problem.
Yeah.
It's Bart, if you complaining about something, maybe you're supposed to be the solution to the thing you're complaining about.
For sure.
Right? So I had to become the solution. I had to run for council.
Yeah.
I ended up winning a council seat in the small town that I was a part of. And then I end up becoming the mayor. So I'm actually right now currently the sitting mayor of the town.
Oh, wow.
No, really. So and like tomorrow we're hosting a big governor rally in my town. So I got to fly back out and we're doing some things to help the governor get elected.
Gotcha. So I want to know the process of creating a product. So this is actually Chef Beasley is about to make me some chips. So okay. I got his theme called Dorito Dave.
Okay.
And I'm like, I'll eat the chips while I'm like giving a lesson. So I want to know the process of creating your formula and packaging it.
Right.
Because there's a lot of people that cook good.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, they got their own little sauce.
And this is module number 5 in the barbecue business class. This is module number 5 where we talk about scaling and branding it. So you talked about early investing so that you can invest. So early on when I was developing my rub, I found a mentor who had it. I got to go spend like a day with her. She charged me $1,500. I had to drive to Chicago. Shout out to Michelle Serps. She was the original Black-owned Serp company. Mm. Not Aunt Jemima, Michelle Serps in Chicago.
Syrup.
Okay. Like a syrup. Like,
it was the accent, yeah. Syrup. Yeah, syrup. I was like, what's syrup? Syrup. I'm glad you said the Aunt Jemima vibe.
Yeah, yeah. So okay. I paid to get her a one-day mentorship.
Mm.
Like, and I drove up there, sat with her, and she taught me about co-packing. She taught me about formulating. She taught me about that whole process, owning your own kitchen versus just renting somebody else and getting out of there. And so with a co-packer, you develop, get module 5, right? I talk about this.
We're about to go through the whole module 5 right now, just to let you know.
Yeah. So we talk about, you got to find a co-packer that you want to do with, right?
And what is a co-packer?
A co-packer facility is somebody like a big manufacturer who will white label what you have.
Okay.
What they want is they want your recipe, right? And so what you'll do is you'll send them a sample of your product that you make at home.
Okay.
You'll send them your recipe, and then they will formulate it. They will take it to a lab, and they will figure out what the ratio would be to mass produce this.
Mm.
Then they will send it back to you. They will send you some samples. You would taste it and say, it's missing this, adjust this, make this adjustments. And you'll go back and forth until the product is to your liking.
Mm-hmm.
Now, at some point, it might be off a little bit, but you're saying, because some of your ingredients, you might spend a lot more. Right. And so you're also looking at your cost factor, because they also, the co-packer is going to, they're going to figure out your recipe, which is your formula. And then they're also going to break down your cost. So how much it's going to cost to produce it based on the size.
Got it.
Whether it's 8 ounce, whether you do a chef size, or whether you do, I'm buying my rub now, I'm buying them in 25-pound boxes. And I just got a message, prices went up again. Yeah, that shipping cost. I got to raise my prices.
Yeah, absolutely.
So once you go through that process.
I don't know. So why do we give the co-packer our recipe? Obviously, to make the samples, but are they trying to own the recipe? No.
You sign a confidentiality agreement, and then there's a disclosure. It's yours.
Okay, I see.
Yeah. So okay. You sign all your paperwork, and you own it. This is specifically formulated for like Big D's. So Big D's has its own.
So you're telling them half a cup of this, a little bit of that. Like, you give them the whole recipe.
Yeah.
They take it and then they reproduce your recipe considering scale.
Yeah,
right? Scale. Then they send it back and you're like, it's off.
Yeah.
Or, you know, you need to add maybe a little more sugar or whatever, right? And then they come back and you're like, okay, this is it.
Yeah.
And then what?
And then once you do that, now y'all work out pricing. They're going to tell you it's a minimum buy, generally 500 pounds,
mm-hmm.
500, all that. So at that point, you make your first buy. Or if you're not buying it in bulk and you want them to label it, you got to pick out your bottles. You got to pick out your labels.
Mm-hmm.
So that might be a whole nother company you got to go through. They'll send you to just to get your labels. And then for the labels, they might have to produce a plate that's just for your label so that they always print your labels, which would be a fee for the labels to put on that spin wheel. And then the label company might have a minimal spin on the labels.
There's the cold pack. I don't know why. Why are they called cold packer? Why don't they just call it like?
Because y'all in a partnership. It's like a joint venture that you make.
All right, look, I know you're enjoying the episode, but I got to tell you, finally, you asked for it, and we created a Patreon, okay? We created an inner circle. We have amazing stories, amazing information, how-tos from the episodes. The only thing we're missing is a community. So it's about that time. We put together our Patreon, we put together our community because we have to have conversation around the information. So even this podcast we're listening to right now, there needs to be conversation. I want to hear what you got. Like, let's throw some stuff back and forth. And because we're like-minded, we're all going in the same direction. When we connect in a community, we can connect on other stuff outside the community because we're building real relationships, okay? So check out the Patreon. We got 3 tiers. I don't care what tier you join. The support is appreciated. Okay. Thank you so much. Now back to the episode.
They buy into the business when they create this?
No, they don't buy into business, but they're producing it. They're the people that you're buying. Like, where'd you buy your t-shirts? Like, if you're buying certain weight t-shirts, you got a company that you're buying your t-shirts.
Okay, I see.
Yeah.
But cold pack. I need to see what that means.
Cold packer.
C-O.
Yeah, cold packer.
Where you from, man?
Yeah, I'm up south. I'm up north. I spent my summers in New York, grew up in the D.C. metropolitan area.
Gotcha. Co-packer.
Yeah.
I'm thinking you're saying cold pack because I heard of that before. No, that's no. That's something in the industry, right? Cold packing?
Yeah, you can
cold pack. For juices and stuff?
Yeah. Cold presser.
Cold press.
Yeah, you cold press your juices.
I'm mixing cold press.
Yeah. So cold packer.
Yes, because there are the cold packer. All right, man. Give me some. Come on, we got to understand it. Okay.
So the co-packer is going to help you produce your product or your rub.
Got it.
Or your sauce. So you have two type of co-packers in the food.
And how much did that process cost for you, around about, if you remember?
think initially my initial investment on the rub was maybe like $1,500 or something like that. And then my first buy, I think the one I went to was super local because I drove to them.
Okay.
It was like an hour and a half drive.
Got it. Right? Got it.
So for that type of weight, you save on that shipping.
For sure.
Be able to go pick it up. And I think my minimum buy was $500. I think my first load, I might have spent $2,500. Mm. And I used it so that I had to stop. Like, I can get rid of myself and mixing at the restaurant.
Yeah.
I use my rub and all my meats and all of that other stuff.
You don't got nothing with you, do you?
No, I was going to bring you some, but I got tied up late last night.
Yeah, my brother.
I'm going to send it to you, though.
Because I would have tasted it. If it's good, I'd have been right on the joint.
We're going to come back. We'll do a part
two. This is delicious, y'all. Y'all ain't going to get...
We're going to do a part two. I'm going to bring the grills down. And we're going to bring the grills down. I'm going to smoke it. And we're going to talk about it.
You're talking good. We're going to be right out there.
We're going to do a part two with the grills.
Oh, say less. Say less. Yeah. Okay. So you got to have your own formula. You find a co-packer. They help formulize it. Then you find... And this is a separate company.
Yeah. The labels.
The labels in the bottling.
They'll refer you because sometimes they got relationships already.
Of course, of course.
Yeah, gotcha, they refer you to who they want. Then once you get your bottles, then it's up to you to sell it.
Got
it's almost like you mass producing CDs or tapes or whatever.
Mm.
So you got to sell it yourself.
You trying to make some sauce, bees? Yeah. You want to make some sauce, man.
It is.
It's my guy right there.
It is.
Yeah, you could do the same thing with candy, too, right?
The same thing with everything. Food,
well, you need to make some gummy worms or something. Why y'all make no barbecue gummy worms? Barbecue gummy worms wouldn't be lit? Joe, what?
No.
Think about it.
Barbecue gummy worms?
Think about it.
No. Joe, why y'all ain't doing that, man?
Because I want that.
Take a second to think about it, though.
Thought about it, no.
He said barbecue, thought about it, no.
Because barbecue sauce is sweet anyway.
You make some little gummy. Sweet and tangy. You can do a sweet and tangy. That's my sauce.
You never had no sweet and tangy candy?
Like Mike and Ike's and all that other good stuff. Yeah.
Yo, would that be a good idea?
Yeah, that's absolutely a good idea. Those are the most, those are the part of the business aspect that people don't think about making money.
Yes.
Right? Because it's not just barbecue food.
For barbecue sauce, you got to have a lunch to put the barbecue sauce on.
People use it on breakfast.
Or you got to have a meal.
You got to have a meal.
But barbecue gummy worms, bro? Yeah. You going to eat them joints all day.
Yeah, I don't know. We're going to take a poll. Put a poll up on social media. Would y'all eat barbecue gummy worms?
I'm not, man. Jason, what you think? Barbecue gummy worms.
Yeah.
We gonna Terry, do a poll. Barbecue gummy worms?
You get over 50%. We're going to have to put it up.
What y'all take? Yo, and this, see, okay, you know what? You know what? You know why they saying that?
Why?
Because they don't see the vision.
They can't see it.
You know how Lay's is doing all kind of weird stuff.
Yeah, with their chips.
Are they selling them? Yes, they selling them joints. They got chips that's like chicken and waffle chips. He was like, that'd be no, I wouldn't do that. And they hid. They got pork rolls, all kind of weird stuff, man. Y'all, they don't see the vision. They don't see the vision.
Hey, we'll create a joint. If you get over.
Is that another real weird one? Macaroni and cheese chips. Huh?
It's just seasoning.
Yeah. No, bro. It's real chip flavors, bro.
He a whole chef. You going to tell him?
Yo, I seen some, bro. You mean to tell me I ain't seen no chicken and waffle chips on the? That's not Photoshop, bro. That's not.
You can create seasoning and spices to alter and give you the flavor. So he's saying,
yeah, it's flavor profile. Yeah, don't act like I don't know what I'm talking about. Flavor profile.
It's a flavor profile.
Okay. So Rick Ross, he just got the deal with Rap Snacks, and they got lemon pepper wing chicken. Like, they're chips. Lemon pepper wings and something else. Y'all don't... Come on. They don't know nothing about... They got the plain Jane, too.
Yeah.
But they got the... They just... It's like lemon pepper tangy something.
So, yeah. Listen, the sky is the limit. Whatever you can imagine with your brain... See, that's the power of our mind. Like, whatever
you
we believe...
You see my vision. We're going to partner on this. Yeah. Thing. I don't know what they... Look, all right. I can't wait to blow them joints up,
If you can believe it, you can achieve it.
Barbecue, baby.
What's up, podcaster or soon-to-be podcaster? Get ready to level up your podcast game because the number one podcast education summit of the year is back, and it's bigger and better than ever. I'm talking about the second annual podcast summit happening on July 4th and 5th in the content creation capital of the world. You already know, ATL, baby. Atlanta, Georgia, going down July 4th and 5th, 2 full days. Imagine this. Imagine you getting all the game you need to take your voice, your brand, your business to the next level. Imagine getting all the insider tips. Imagine getting all the know-how that you've been craving for the last 2, 3, 4 years where you're talking about you're going to start a podcast, but you haven't yet because you don't have the tools, you don't have the tips, you don't have the tricks. I don't care if you're just starting or you're a seasoned pro. This summit has something for everyone. Picture you mastering the basics of setting up your podcast or unlocking the secrets to grow your brand on social media. We're not just talking about podcasting here. I'm talking about you want to build a long form catalog, whether it's skits, movies. We got people talking about script writing. This is an incredible experience. Imagine discovering the art of securing these lucrative sponsorship deals. And that's not all. Learn the ropes of creating a pitch deck that has sponsors knocking down your door. But wait. There's more. This isn't just a summit. This is an experience. I'm telling you. Rub shoulders with industry leaders. And you got to network with the other people that are doing what you're doing. All the guests that have ever been on Social Proof Podcast, I'm giving them a free ticket. And in exchange, they promise me that they're going to sit down and do short interviews with you. We got podcast booths for our VIP members where you can sit down, pull somebody to a side, and you're going to create content in real time. I know what you're thinking. How do I get a part of this podcasting paradise? Well, it's simple. All you have to do is head over to podcastsummit.com, grab your tickets now, but hold on. Because I have something really, really special for you. I got a little treat for my early birds, people who take action. The next 20 listeners and only 20 listeners who get your tickets right now, okay? I'm not only going to give you 20% off of whatever ticket level you get 20% off. But if you use the promo code BIGDEAL, it'll take 20% off immediately, but I'm also going to allow the first 20 people listening to this right now to be able to bring a friend, bring a teammate, bring a partner for absolutely free. You get general admission, they get general admission. You get VIP, they get VIP. Whatever ticket level you purchase, you get to bring a friend, partner, colleague, boo thing for absolutely free. Nothing extra required. My team's going to reach out to you, get your partner's name, or if you don't have the person you No, right now, yet, you got time, no pressure, you get us back. But use that code BIGDEAL, that triggers to let us know you get to bring someone for free. So don't wait. So secure your spot at the number one podcast education summit in the country. Join us July 4th and 5th in Atlanta. Let's turn your podcast dreams into a reality, y'all. Head over to podcastsummit.com. Use promo code Big Deal at checkout and get your tickets now. Don't miss out on the opportunity to take your podcast to new heights, take your brand to new heights, take your business to new heights with this unprecedented offer, okay? I'll see you at the summit. And don't forget to use promo code Big Deal.
Bears, little gummy bears?
Gummy bears. Eat them up. Put it's the poll up. We're going to put the poll up and we're going to show everybody what the poll
That's
say.
That's a fact.
Okay. Poll say we create
so,
that.
Co-packer, finest co-packer, make them gummy bears with the barbecue flavor using your flavor because it's our partnership.
Listen, I already got the rub.
You got the...
I already got the rub.
Yeah, that's going to be crazy. Okay, yeah. So you find a packer, then you get it. Now, I can imagine that the hardest part is getting people to release their current favorite.
Yeah.
Right? How have you been working? How's that been going?
How to release their what?
Their current favorite. So,
if you
come out with a new ranch, right? But people love what's the ranch y'all be eating? Hidden Valley.
Yeah, people are brand loyal.
You eating Hidden Valley,
right? So
that's for salad, bro. That ain't the wing ranch. Go ahead.
So loyalty. People are brand loyal. Like people are loyal to Social Proof, right? Yeah. They watch it every week faithfully, 100%. Every time episode. They subscribe to your podcast. Every time it pops up, ding, they click on it, they watch it, right? So they're faithful. And so with brands, people get faithful. Like people buy into people.
Yeah, 100%.
They know, they love, they like, they trust, right? And so it's up to whoever the consumer is to build that relation. Like when you did t-shirts, people came to you just because they liked the brand. Yeah. Right, sleep is for suckers. Like I'm gonna rock that. Yeah. Right, and so that's the same thing with any sauce, any product. Rick Ross Wingstop is popular because it association. And when you release a certain level of success, success just makes you more influential. People gonna buy it just because you're successful, because people want to be associated with successful things.
100%.
Right, and so like even the more people see me pop up on my local news or pop up on there, or they see me in the community. Like, just because I'm in the middle of my community, people just come and they flood and they buy it. Mm-hmm. And so that's the key to moving our products is just continue to be successful. And it creates that level of influence in our brand, in our business. Eventually, our brand will be the brand.
Yeah, for
sure. Like, that's how we start wiping it off. We start influencing. And the relationships you start building in your local grocery stores, your local market, you start getting other chefs to use your gummies in there. Yeah. Right? Instead of those CBD, use these barbecue gummies.
Gotta add a barbecue.
It's gonna
bears,
give you that
bro.
Same energy, that same fire that CBD. Sir. Yeah.
Yes, sir.
And so
let me ask you this. How about like a soda gummy worm? It tastes like soda.
So what you think? A barbecue soda.
You what you think?
You wouldn't know weirdos that eat them little plastic.
See, but here's Coca-Cola the thing. Joints, don't y'all, you? Y'all seen the little Coca-Cola bottles that are gummy bears? And they be, see, I got you. Don't even know what you're talking about.
You eat them,
see,
don't you?
Huh?
You eat them, don't you?
I love them joints.
You're disgusting.
They ain't killing it. All right. So anyway. So pretty much you are the front runner of the person who's teaching people how to get their own restaurant or build their own consumer product.
So think of the mobile food industry, mm-hmm. like the food truck industry, right? So I'm that barbecue guy that you see on the top of the side of the road. Because we ain't even talk about the grills and all that, how I got to end up getting all those grills and all that. Yeah, but I'm teaching.
How many grills you got right now?
I had about 15 grills.
Like, are you saying it's 15 separate trucks like, with grills or?
Different styles and sizes. Like, let me tell you, because
hold on, I'm sorry. Where are these 15 grills?
So I got, sitting at my barbecue spot right now, I'm gonna describe them to you. I got a big barbecue trailer that I had built with a full kitchen, a huge, massive trailer on it. That's one. Then I have a one trailer contraption. I actually brought it down to Atlanta last month. I got 5 grills built on that, 3 chicken cookers and 2 pig roasters, right? So that's 5 built on one trailer. Then I have this Lang, that Lang is built out of Georgia somewhere. And then I have a Metal Creek, with another Metal Creek welded on it. So how many is
a Lane and what's a Metal Creek?
These are reverse flow smokers. These are these big barrel grills, you know, like these old propane tanks that they cut out. Then I got these table style grills that's like 6-foot table grills that you just straight barbecue. I got like 3 of those. Then I got one that you can run the propane on, one of those table grills. Then I have a Southern Pride type box grill. And then I have a Weber grill. And then I have another pig roaster. So these are just the ones I'm visualizing on my lot right now.
Brother. Golly. So how many locations do you have?
So I have one physical location that people can come to. That's in Dumfries, Virginia.
It's open right now.
It's open right now.
24 hours,
okay. No, it ain't open 24 hours.
I mean, not 24 hours, but it's a static location.
It's static location.
You have employees that work there, things of that nature.
And then I also go around and I still do festivals and fairs. I do pop-up. One of my models for people, and I teach this in the course too, I used to work with people and I used to say, let me increase your business with food. Because who doesn't like food? Right. Yeah, I used to teach sales models. I teach that in the branding and marketing segment of the course. Like, gotcha. I'd give them the play on how I brought that. That first grill I brought, the big one, was $7,500. Remember, I ain't had no money. Mm. Right. I gave people a play in the course on how to get that $7,500 to buy that first grill and get on out
What's
there.
What's the play?
It's a partnership. You don't want them to get the course?
No. You want to talk right now.
But
they will.
But people, you know, I probably give it to them, but they ain't gonna run the play.
Well, let's, for the audience now, let's talk about the play. Yeah.
So what I did at the time, because I had relationships in the mortgage business, I was doing home buyer seminars. I was just charismatic. I built a lot of relationships, right? Mm. Just fact. So I was gonna enter into a barbecue contest. It was the DC barbecue battle. Huge contest. Over 500,000 people come on Pennsylvania Avenue in front of the White House, 10 blocks. But they changed that after the last president and they moved it down to the Capitol. But anyway, it was 10 blocks. On their website, they had a whole media's perspective profile. I took that profile for the media, what the stats is, how many visits and all that. I created my own marketing brochure. I said, I'm putting together a barbecue team, like a NASCAR team. I was creating T-shirts. I was going to put everybody's logo. And I was creating a chef's table for people to come and experience a private chef for this competition barbecue. Because I'm entering the barbecue contest, right? And so now I went and I needed a title sponsor. So I had two. I said I was going to do one title sponsor, $5,000. And I had $1,000 sponsorship, $500 sponsorships, right? Because you got to think outside the box. I didn't have the money. Look, I'm barely making $200-$300 going to the barbershops, right? So now I put together a team. I said, all right, you on my barbecue team, you on my barbecue team. All right. Then I found a guy who does blog and was getting a lot of hit. I said, all right, you're my media sponsor. So you're going to do a write-up. And I put this whole perspective package together And then I played two of the banks. One I used to work for, and another was actually Navy Fed. And I was playing emails to them together. I said, "Yeah, this one is about to be my $5,000 sponsor." And I'm giving y'all 10 tickets to sit around the chef's table, and I'm gonna feed y'all gourmet barbecue right off the grill. Mm. One of the other company I used to work for, they said, "Hey, come down here tomorrow to get this $5,000 check." Well, because how you do anything is how you do everything. They know my work ethic because I had worked for them. So they said, come get this $5,000 check.
I love it.
I went and got the $5,000 check. I called the company. I said, "Yo, here's my deposit for the grill. Start building it." Because it's 6 week build time. Like, they build these grills from scratch.
Oh,
right. Damn, so I put that down. So now I'm hustling. Some of the friends, family I knew, that's people afraid to ask. Like, you know, an offer you don't make is an offer they can't take.
That's a fact.
Right? So a closed mouth don't get fed. So I'd ask, "Yo, can I get $100? I'm going to give you two tickets to come sit around and eat this food at this barbecue." Because it was a ticketed event. It cost $10. Mm. Right? So I'm charging them $50. Come sit. I'm going to go buy some extra tickets and be like, "Come be a sponsor. Come sit around." And I got to cook the food anyway. Yeah. So I think I raised like $8,000 or $9,000, enough to pay the grill, enough to do this.
Nice.
And boom, I got my first reverse flow smoker off of that one play.
That's
just
dope.
Creating a sponsorship package off an event that I didn't even curate. It was an event that was already happened.
Mm.
I piggybacked my event off there. I curated my own event inside an event.
I love it. That's dope, man. Being able to get paid off of something that you absolutely love to do. So how much money is in this? Business, like, not to be in your personal business, but I guess to be in your business, like,
you think about
last
it.
Last year, I guess through the pandemic, what do you think you brought in around?
Probably a little over
$400,000.
And that was working 3 to 4 days a week.
See, that's what I'm saying.
I was doing that's just off of the barbecue business. Mm. And that was I started off just doing Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Later on, towards the end, I expanded to an extra day Thursday because people started asking. But I was only doing 3 days a week.
That's what I'm saying, bro. Once you have a clientele, they use it. They eat it, but they have to come back tomorrow. Yo, man,
nobody had nothing to do. So don't get it twisted. I spent money Facebook, creating my bots, and doing all that. That's the marketing aspect. Like, people didn't know I was there until I had to show up.
Right, but once they're there and they experience it, like, there's some spots, they didn't have to run no ads for me. I came across this story, okay, let me. Oh, yeah. I eat it, I'm there.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It was
and I'm coming back.
Yeah.
That's really how I want to.
Yeah, smoke. I'm the only one really out in my area that you're going to smell me from blocks, and when you driving, it's funny.
I like that.
Smell me. Can you smell what the wood is cooking? Right?
This is all crazy stuff I say.
And so I be sitting there. I literally seen little cars drop over the medium because that smell hit their car. It'd be the funniest. I'd be like, "Yo, can you do that again? I want to record that." Because they didn't even know it was a medium there just really went and stretched and did that. So it'd be the funny that when that smell hits you, sometimes I just light the grill and people smell the grill and they don't even nothing be on. And it was funny because people would be out there 7-8 o'clock in the morning just because they smell the smoke thing. I just be like, "Y'all, I don't serve breakfast. Be open at 12 or 11, whatever."
Crazy. Man, listen, this has been insightful. We're about to make some barbecue gummy bears, bro.
Yes.
I
can't wait to see that survey.
Yes, sir. I got to do a quick commercial and then I'm going to have you kind of close out with something impactful and let them know how they can reach you and all that kind of stuff. All right. So this episode is sponsored by the Podcasters Blueprint. Okay. There's not a whole lot of resources out here that will teach you how to have a successful podcast.
No.
If you want to have a podcast, where would you go?
Yeah.
And especially
you think barbecue podcasts would be good?
Absolutely.
Yeah, just us sitting down talking about barbecue.
Absolutely.
Around.
Barbecue bring people together, man.
That's it.
Barbecue is a part of our history.
That's it.
Did you know when the slaves came over to America, the very first thing... I'm just playing.
Yo, it's true. We who you think was lighting up? Who figured out how to roast that pig in the ground?
Yeah, you feel me? You had to throw something on it.
Absolutely.
You feel me? You had to get the honey in the... All right. Anyway, it's Podcast Blueprint. If you want to start a podcast, okay, you got to learn from somebody that's done it. Listen, I've done it.
We're not just here having fun. This is a business, even though we had a good time. But I go to podcastersblueprint.com, use the promo code socialproof, and I get a very nice discount off of your bread, your course, okay? Also, The Morning Meetup, the only organization that gathers every single day. Entrepreneurs from all across the country gather every day at 8 o'clock in the morning.
Wait, every day?
Monday through Friday, bro.
Oh, that's not Saturday.
And it'd be like four. No, not Saturday, Sunday. But that's every day. Monday through Friday, pretty much. Every weekday. Every weekday.
All right,
yeah, Monday through Friday. But listen to me. If I did it for 7 days a week, we would have 400 or 500 people on 7 days a week.
That's dope. And they all entrepreneurs?
Every day. Well, I mean, some are entrepreneurs, entrepreneurs, people that are trying to figure it out, people that's trying to, like, they want community.
Yeah.
Because where else would you go? Let me ask you this honest question.
All right.
Where can you go to meet up with over 400 people every day? Where would you go?
Wow.
Here's the thing.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. Physically or online, where would you go?
Yeah, to meet, and y'all actually meet up and y'all talking. And
you
y'all
can see on little boxes on Zoom over 400 people. Where would you go?
I guess morningmeetup.com.
It's the only place in the world.
It's the only place in the world.
So am I lying? Am I making this stuff up? Where else would you go? So if you want that connection with other people, go to themorningmeetup.com. Start your dollar trial for 7 days to see if you like it or not. All right, so D, man, I appreciate you, man. This was very, very lit.
Yo, D, I had a good time, man. I learned a lot. Yo, you got 400 entrepreneurs that meet up every day.
Yeah.
I got to sit down with a dope guy that's doing dope things with dope people.
I appreciate it, man. Yeah. And I gotta come up with some. I'm gonna do some weird funky sauces too, bro. Yeah. Like the stuff that Joe wouldn't approve of because
he ain't woke.
You know what I mean?
But it's those things that people remember.
Exactly. Yo, you know what will happen?
Nobody want no barbecue gummies.
Here's the crazy part. Here's the crazy part, Joe.
Chef Beasley said no.
Here's what's crazy. The fact that we've never heard of it before, you know how many people will buy it just to see if it's good or not?
That's like that one little chip that everybody buying for like, what, $10? Just one little spicy chip?
Bro, there's a restaurant in Philly, they got a $100 cheese stick.
No, it's $120 now. Barclays Prime.
$120.
I'm working on $100 slab of ribs.
Say it again?
Are you tossing the gummy worms in a seasoning?
Or I don't know. Just don't shoot down my concept. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. All I said, y'all shot down my dream. Yeah. Without it. Okay, we still teach
you. It don't matter. You still going to do it anyway.
Without even hearing all of the details, y'all shot down my dream.
So in the mindset lesson, we talk about stay away from people that steal your dreams, right? You got to be in an environment and go around people who are going to encourage you. It's just like a baby. When a baby fall down, we don't tell that baby, you will never be able to walk because you ain't prepared to walk. Yep. We put that baby around people. We're going to tell that baby to get back up and to walk again. And so that baby is because we're encouraging that baby. Eventually, that baby learns how to walk.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
And our ideas are just babies that we're developing and we're trying to teach them how to walk.
Exactly. See, that's what I'm talking about. They ain't even try it to tell me anything good. Yeah. Let me ask you, Joe, would you eat metal?
No.
You would not eat metal.
Why would I eat metal?
Is gold a metal?
Why would I eat gold?
Do you know they make gold covered steaks?
I know they make gold covered steaks. I don't eat beef.
But if you ate, but I'm saying, if you ate steak.
I don't eat beef.
Edible gold.
There's a difference, though.
My thing was, would you eat metal? Here's the thing. Okay, here's the thing. Would you eat metal? Absolutely not. Is gold a metal? No. They have gold cover steaks that cost hundreds of dollars. And now we're like, oh, well, if you shave it and you put it on and you make it edible. But the initial answer is no. I'm teaching entrepreneurship. Thank you, Joe. I love you. I'll just use you as an example.
Yes, as always.
There are people who don't have the full picture of the thing that you are trying to do. And they will automatically say it won't work because they don't see it how you see it. I say, would you eat metal? He's thinking about taking a nickel and like going at it.
D, they don't see what's there. They only see what they've been programmed to see.
Come on, man.
And that's in life, man.
Look at Joe, what you said.
Listen, you don't see what's there. You see what you've been programmed to see.
Joe?
You program. He programmed that as soon as he said metal, you saw a big piece of metal.
Say his name,
you
Joe.
You didn't Joe. Joe.
Say his name.
Joe. Hey, let me tell you something, Joe. We saw that in D.C. too. You don't see metal. You see a big pole. But he's telling you to see the shavings. Wait, pause. No, but that's, you listen.
Oh, my God.
Anything's possible.
Anything's possible.
Anything. You just got to believe, right? What makes the lion king of the jungle, Joe? Let me tell you. It's not because the lion is the biggest. It's not because he's the fastest. Not because he's the smartest or the strongest. Lion is king of the jungle because of his attitude. That elephant is bigger, is stronger. It can knock trees down. But when that lion sees that elephant, he don't see how big and strong it is. All he sees is lunch.
Lunch.
And so when you see your dreams and your goals, you got to be like, lunch. And you got to attack that thing and you got to eat that thing. Yeah.
Hey, man. Yo, thank you so much for coming, man. I've had a blast, man. You definitely got to let it be. This is what I want you to do. Okay. I got to ask a question.
All right.
And then.
Is it a deep question or
very
is it
deep
surface?
Question. Come on, very man. Deep. So, one, where do you see... I like to make predictions on a podcast, okay? Okay? So, right. Where do you see yourself in the next 5 years so that I can watch this 5 years from now and we can say, listen, it didn't happen. It wasn't happening when he talked about it, but this is what he said he's going to accomplish and he actually accomplished it.
That's a great question.
I ask good questions.
Yeah, I'm glad you asked. Because I've actually been chewing on this, but I haven't said it out loud. So now you're going to force me.
Here we go. Let's go.
You're going to force me to say it out loud. So I see the barbecue business in a point where now I created the course, right? Barbecuebusinessclass.com or whatever. Mm-hmm. But now it's in a position where people are lazy. Mm-hmm. They need a done-for-you type of product.
100%.
So I got to create a product now where they can get a system that's already built. Mm-hmm. And it'd be franchise. So now they could buy a franchise to set up on any roadside in the entire 50 United States.
I love it.
All right.
I love it.
And so that's now it. I guess franchising would be the next model. Because I've never seen a roadside, mm-hmm. like a roving food vendor, like a same food vendor going at all these other fairs. And it's nobody in our sphere. So I see myself getting in that space. And I've been in a position 4 or 5 years from now where I've helped probably 1,000 entrepreneurs really get in and scale and start their own barbecue business. They take their passion and barbecue out their backyard and they really start making money, right? Because everybody likes their food, but it's just a hobby until you start making some money.
That's a fact.
So I want to show people how to make money in this game.
I love it. I love it. So now the clock has started because you said it.
Yeah, I did. You put it in. It's funny how much things I said and I look back on and it actually happened. Yeah. It just kind of like wrote it out. It's like that vision, making it plain.
Got to.
So, and that's going to be the consultant aspect. I just had a revelation the other day, man, that King Solomon was a consultant. People used to bring him money for his advice. Mm. Like this lady had an issue with a baby and she was like, yo, what's up with my baby? She stole my baby. He was like, all right, let me see. Let me kill the baby. No! He figured out who it was and everybody started bringing him money. They was like, yo, he's wise. For solving problems.
Problem solvers get paid, man.
Yeah, so I just want to help people solve their problems.
That is. I love it. Well, look, man, you have... let everybody know how to find you. You have the course. We'll put a link in the box. How much... Can we give a discount?
You know, I'm a giver. Nah, for real, I'm a giver. Let's give a discount.
Yeah.
The course right now... is a $5,000 course. I reduced it for the first 100 people, $2,500.
Okay.
But for you and your people, Social Proof, I think we should give them a deeper discount.
Okay. What you thinking? Is it a percentage, you want them to be surprised?
And here's what it is. I'm giving them $100,000 worth of gain.
Of course.
Now, how much, like, if I told somebody to give me $90,000 for $100,000, right, that's still a good deal.
All day.
All day long, because you make $10. Yeah. If I told them to give me $50,000 for $100,000, it's a good deal. Yeah. Right. So I don't want people to look at the cost because it's an investment that's going to come back. Right. Don't look at what you're paying. Look at what you invest. How much is it going to cost you not to get it?
Yeah.
It's going to cost you $100,000 if you don't get it.
That's a fact.
So now I say we take another 20% off for your people.
OK, so we'll set up promo code Social Proof.
OK.
Promo code Social Proof. And we'll give them 20% off.
20% off the barbecue business class.
There it is. So let everybody know how they can find you. Then I need you to close this out with a word of wisdom. Okay, you got to put a whole bow on this conversation.
Yeah, so you can find me on social media at MyBBQMan. You can find me on our Facebook, Divine Barbecue. If you want to follow the political world, you want to understand that, follow Mayor D.R. Wood over on Instagram. Like, if you want to see how I move and shake and influence in that sphere. And
give the whole... What were you about to say?
The course address.
Yeah, go ahead.
Is www.bbqbusinessclass.com. bbqbusinessclass.com.
Good, good. And like, close out with a word of wisdom, but I want you to talk directly to Joe, okay?
Okay.
I want you to like close it out, look him in his face, and he needs encouragement. He needs some wisdom. You know what I mean? But go ahead. You can close this out, bro.
All right. So here's a good word, Joe.
Call his name.
Yeah, listen. You got to commit to your dreams. Commit first, figure the rest out later. One of the things that's made me like outrageously successful in life and business is my ability to throw my hat over the fence and then figure out how I'm going to climb that fence and go get my hat. Like, I never had all the details when I did this and when I built this, and never in my wildest dreams that I think I'd be doing what I'm doing today. But it was that one gift of barbecue that has opened every door. It's because of barbecue I'm sitting on this podcast. Because of barbecue I'm in politics. Because barbecue that I get to travel and get invited to some of the places I do. But the key to that was my ability to commit first and to figure the rest out later. So the secret to getting ahead, really, Joe, is getting started. What are you waiting for? Start today.
There it is. That's it, man. Can't close it out. How you feel, Joe? Can't close it out no better than that. Listen, man, do yourself a favor, man. First off, follow D Woods, all right? Next, I need you to go get you some social proof, okay? Build something. Go build something really, really big, something you could be proud of, something your family could be proud of. But then I want you to take it back to your community and teach your community how you did it. All right? We are out of here.
Reach one, teach one. Let's go reach one.
David Chance presents to you the Morning Meetup. Do you have an idea you need to get off the ground? Are you a small business owner looking to earn supplemental income or replace your current income? Come and join the most amazing mentorship and accountability group for entrepreneurs. Live with David Chance himself. That's right, this is not pre-recorded and it's not a replay. This is live every morning, Monday through Friday at 8 a.m. Eastern. In addition to the live calls, you'll also receive a weekly individual Q&A call, a private Facebook community, access to all call replays, and access to David's list of resources and contacts. You need to be in an environment of success. So head over to themorningmeetup.com today for your $1 7-day trial. That's right, just $1 for 7 days of access to the Morning Meetup. Take massive action towards manifesting your dreams today. themorningmeetup.com.
I wanted to know why some people who get COVID-19 get it so bad. I found out it may be because they have a high risk factor, such as heart disease, diabetes, being overweight, smoking, and asthma. Even if symptoms feel mild, these factors can increase your risk of COVID-19 turning severe. So if you're at high risk and test positive, there are things you can do, like asking your healthcare provider if an authorized oral treatment is right for you. Learn about an option at treatcovid19.com. This message is sponsored by Pfizer.